KT McFarland and Representative Mac Thornberry of Texas on Fox News Sunday. Check out more news, read more analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
And hello once again, it's Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world, and we are missing a voice this week. We're a man down due to sickness. Alan isn't with us this week, but he, with luck, will be back next week. In the meantime, we've got the tech news you can use, the goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos, and all those great things brought to you in Northern California by Advanced Automotive of Redding. In addition to our on-the-air broadcast on KCNR 1460 and maybe more stations in the not-too-distant future, we are out on a couple of podcast platforms. We're on iTunes, we're on Google Play, and we're working on a few others. So I'm taking suggestions as to what the most popular podcasting platforms are. And if you happen to be listening to the podcast and you are with or you know of a radio station in your area that you would like to carry our program, which is formatted for radio stations, and we don't drop the F-bomb or anything like that, we would be glad to be on your stations. And just drop an email to boomertechradio@gmail.com, or that is also how you get hold of us to make suggestions. Also, the website is boomertechradio.com. Hello, Brenda.
You were doing so well, I saw no need to interrupt.
I haven't really caffeinated yet. We record this show on Thursday evenings. So for future reference, if you're catching the podcast and you want to get a hold of us, we'll be putting out the phone number where you can contact us if you want to talk to us while we're recording the show. Now, it may be a little awkward, but we're going to work that in.
We'll figure it out.
Yes, we will. So you can go to boomertechradio.com and catch up, because I like to post various articles. Also, if you have the Flipboard application on your device, you can subscribe to Boomer Tech Radio magazine.
A lot of the stories that we talk about have the details there. You can find out more information about the content of the source, and sometimes we have more than one article about a subject posted.
Yeah, and reviews. That's, if I do a review on a product, I was hoping to hear back from Alan, because I let him use that iClever speaker.
It keeps.
Yeah.
It's all good.
It's a durable story.
Absolutely. And now I forgot what I was going to say. I hate that.
Other stories have a very short lifespan.
Some do, yes.
As do some careers, particularly careers in the advertising field, particularly advertising people who work for the ad agency that handles the Burger King account.
Well, I've never particularly cared for Burger King ads. I think they're silly.
Okay, we have had in the past
the big bucking chicken or something like that. Right. Mm-hmm. We all know what that was supposed to say.
We had Find Herb. Do you remember that very poorly thought out ad campaign? Mm-hmm. Herb was the only man in the world who had never experienced a Burger King Whopper, and you were supposed to he was kind of a Where's Waldo looking guy.
Oh.
And you were supposed to point him out when he walked into a Burger King and win a big prize. Well, the whole thing was a fiasco. It was a staged event. It fell flat on its face.
Honestly, how does Burger King keep the ad agency? And one, that stupid king thing?
The hideous. I mean,
oh, that thing was scary.
Creepy.
Creepy.
Absolutely
is right.
Creepy. Well, as if all of the above wasn't enough. Yes, Burger King, I am picking on you. You do have some pretty decent chow. I will admit that the I will indulge in the occasional Whopper once in a while. And if you had a ad agency that wasn't this screwed up, we would have we wouldn't have a whole lot to talk about. But right now, the whole everybody is just piling on Burger King like the condiments in the ads. For a few hours, Burger King demonstrated what the future of advertising might be because a TV ad, a 15-second spot, asked Google's voice recognition home assistant, what, and I will not say the code word, what is the Whopper Burger? It sent devices in homes across the country into reported haywire. The ad came on April the 12th and was pulled by the 13th. So anyway, yeah, there's a Burger King alleged, you know, an actor portraying a Burger King employee.
Right.
He says, it's unfortunately not enough time to explain all the fresh ingredients in a fresh Whopper sandwich, the character says, but I've got an idea. The camera closes in on the apparent employee who says, okay, blank. What is the Whopper Burger? The phrase is intended to trigger the Google Assistant. Well, for those who happen to have the speaker, the
right.
Question caused the device to wake up and conduct a Google search looking for an answer. For many, the Google went straight to Wikipedia.
Which is enormously funny, which, of course, it starts talking about whatever Wikipedia has on the Whopper.
Yeah. Well, they had gone in, the person, the genius who had come up with this ad campaign had edited the original line to say, the Whopper is a burger consisting of a flame-grilled patty made with 100% beef, no preservative or fillers, topped with sliced tomatoes, onions, lettuce, pickles, ketchup, mayonnaise, served on a sesame seed bun. However,
fascinating part about this.
Forgetting, in their enthusiasm, that Wikipedia is an editable source.
Yep.
What would people do with this power? Well, it was promptly hacked with all sorts of people trying to outdo each other, describing the burger in a number of absolutely disgusting manners until Google locked down the page so that it couldn't be edited and then blocked access so that and instructed the Google Home to ignore this particular inquiry. So the term backfire
happily
even begin to
backlash is more like
holy
it.
Smoke.
Now, they're not the first ones, of course, to use the digital assistants do that. There's been there was already an ad that earlier fired off the Amazon Echo and the same kind of thing. And so that's, you know, one of these things that's kind of crazy. So if you have an Android phone, you know, the secret words, okay, G.
Yeah.
You know, do this or that, which we use all the time to set timers and alarms and things like that. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, it didn't take long for this for the folks at Google to say, you know, this is not what we had in mind. And I imagine that the person who was patting himself on the back.
Oh, I'm sure they think this was a huge success.
Well, he's probably now packing his bags.
Well, or he's maybe not because, well, who knows? Because the ad has to go through, you would think, a vetting process, right?
Yeah.
And some kind of sampling and what have you. But 24 hours of this going on, people are still talking about it. Mm-hmm. So that's free advertising, right?
Well, true. Now, this isn't the first time that ads have annoyed Google Home users. It was just last month that the Daily Briefing feature started blaring a promo for Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They had some people had a fit over that.
Few things would kill the adoption of an in-home audio assistant faster than this nonsense. Jarvis, you could hear Jarvis sneering at this. You
know. Snickering.
Yeah.
Laughing his pants off.
Turning up his nose at this.
Well, these are mere amateurs, according to Jarvis, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. What the,
Jarvis, of course, being the mythical digital assistant of Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron Man in the movies.
Yeah. So a couple of things. By the way, you know, people will call me a tech guru, and I run away from that because I am not. I have not worked in the high end of the tech sector. I never designed a game. I never programmed anything more fancy than a couple of macros here and there. I like to play with this stuff. I'm pretty good with my words. And that's my claim to fame here. And I read voraciously.
Right. You have a lot of knowledge about what's going on and how things work.
I'm sort of a all-trade sort of guy when it comes to the tech.
What do you mean you're not a tech guru? You fix our friend's computer all the time.
Well,
it's pretty basic stuff, actually.
Any 11-year-old can do that.
Yeah, that's true.
Can do that better. Anyway, the thing about being somebody who is at least marginally knowledgeable about tech is like being a doctor, but the pay isn't nearly as good.
Nowhere near.
So our friend Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl. Because I think she starts to listen to this program.
Maybe so.
I believe so. Anyway, we get this question, what computer should I buy? Well, that's a little like, what car should I buy?
Or what boat should I buy?
Yeah. Are you a soccer mom who hauls the entire team around? Or is it just you and the squeeze and a picture of your dog? You know, do you want to go zoom, zoom, or do you want to haul a lot of cargo? There's a lot of variables here.
And that's it's the for same cars, with, yeah, of course, yeah. Not for computers.
Well, the same concepts apply.
Absolutely. Though. Are you a gamer? Casual user, turn it on once a week, do a lot of word processing, want to use it for graphics, want to do artwork on it, do you want to have it portable?
Right. So Microsoft's logo. That's a question. Back in the Windows 95 era, Microsoft's catchphrase was, where do you want to go today?
Right.
And that serves for what do you want to compute today? Now, in the case of our friend, she doesn't game beyond maybe some Flash-based stuff.
Or, apps.
Yeah,
simple
some
apps.
App-type games. She doesn't edit heavy video. She doesn't do graphics. So she doesn't need a real heavyweight computer.
Mostly download movies.
Right.
Send emails. That's about the extent of it.
So I looked around, and I don't have the exact model number in front of me, but I actually resorted to Amazon and their best-selling Acer. It's a desktop with a i5 processor. Unless you're doing really heavy-duty stuff, the i5, Intel i5 seventh-generation processor is a great, great CPU. If you're running, if you are in Windows 10, which all new PCs have Windows 10, you're going to want a minimum, bare-bones minimum of 4, 8 is preferable, and 16 is good, gigs of RAM. You should have, if you're going to be storing a lot of pictures, you're going to want at least a 1 terabyte hard drive, and for most of us, a DVD optical player is still a good investment because we still have a lot of DVDs and Blu-rays laying around. So a DVD burner Blu-ray player combo is a good choice. You really should have a card reader, and you should have a beefy enough supply and a couple of extra slots. It's a computer that I found for our friend Cheryl. Costs about $450, and that's with the keyboard and mouse, but minus the monitor, because face it, a lot of us have monitors laying around. And she was just so happy. And if you really want to spend the money locally and you're willing to spend a little more, you can probably pick up this Acer, and I can look up the part number. You can pick it up for about somewhere under $500, and that's a pretty good deal. Now, one thing, if you're shopping for a desktop computer, if at all possible, make sure you get what's called the Signature Edition of Windows 10. And the reason for that is that it doesn't have all the bloatware installed on it that a lot of HPs and Dells and store-bought computers come with. So if you go to, say, Best Buy or Costco or someplace like that, you can probably find a pretty good deal. And make sure you look for the Windows Signature Edition. And it's a fairly clean install of Windows 10, and you don't have
a bunch of useless apps you're not going to use.
Right.
It takes up overhead.
Right, it does, and it's almost impossible to get rid of. Okay.
So I have a question.
Okay, I have an answer. May not be the one you expect.
If you were just describing a desktop, mm-hmm. what if you want portability?
Again, it depends on what you want to do. If all you're going to do is check your email, occasionally watch something off of Netflix or YouTube, post to your Facebook account.
I'd get a tablet.
Right. Well, or a Chromebook or one of the i3 series of laptops that you can get them for under $300.
What I find is that my laptop is faster than my tablet.
Oh, yes.
And that sort of thing. So if you're looking for a little more speed and response to, you know, how quickly it sends emails or retrieves data from the web and that sort of thing, you might want to think about a little more powerful computer than a tablet.
True. But for about the price of a decent tablet, you can get a pretty beefy Chromebook. And the thing about the Chromebook is that you can easily lock it down. And if it's under $300 and somebody swipes it out of the overhead bin, you can, first of all, kill it remotely very quickly. And you're not out all that much. It's not like having your $1,000 iPad swiped.
But make sure that you have all your files backed up. That's the big thing.
The thing about a Chromebook is that it is all on the cloud.
Right, but that's what I'm saying is, but have decent passwords and that sort of thing on there as well. Always.
One thing that Windows 10 computer, well, any of the Windows computers do from 7 on up is with the automatic updates, you can get stuck in the endless loop. Now, my friend Trish had that happen to her desktop, and she wasn't sure what to do, so she came to me this morning asking, what do I do? It says, do not turn off your computer. Very ominous message. Update and process.
Yes.
Do not turn off your computer. Here's the rule of thumb. If it's been doing this for 3 hours or more, it's stuck in a loop. And what usually happens is that the part of the computer that communicates with the outside world has gotten clobbered. If it's a Wi-Fi connection or even on a desktop, the interface for the Ethernet has gotten knocked out. And so it's waiting to fetch more data from Microsoft, but it can't get online, so it can't get that data, so it's waiting. So the little circle goes round, the wheels on the bus go round and round.
So it's known as a do loop.
Yeah, and your drive just goes flicker, 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 flicker.
Stuck.
Most of us who have had Windows machines have experienced this exquisite inconvenience by now.
Darn you, Bill Gates.
In spite of the warning, if you find yourself in this predicament, hold down the power button until the machine don't just tap the power button.
No, that
won't
do anything.
Hold the button down
right
until the machine forces a shutdown.
I always call that a hit in the head reboot.
Yes, good term for it. And I do not recommend this unless you absolutely have to, because you can clobber some files.
Right.
But Windows has a pretty fair amount of resiliency built into it. When it boots back up, it says, okay, there wasn't a normal shutdown. So it reverts back to the previous settings that it had on that computer most of the time. Now, sometimes it'll try to promptly go back into the update loop. If you're doing this on a laptop, not only shut it down, flip it over, pull the battery, and disconnect the power supply. What you want to do is put the RAM, the random access memory,
kind of reset
completely
it.
Completely dead.
Right.
Then reboot, and 9 times out of 10, it'll come right back and either finish the update or it'll wait until next time. Now, I've had this happen a couple of times on my Dell laptop, and our friend Trish had this happen on her, and I think it's a Dell desktop.
But if it's trying to update, you can also plug it in hardwire.
This is another thing that happens, and this happened to Brenda's computer a couple of times now. If it's on a wireless network, and that gets clobbered during the update process, it'll keep trying to update. Take it and get yourself an Ethernet cable. It's the one that looks like a fat telephone cord. plug the laptop directly into your router and reboot, and it should be able to get online and fetch the information it needs, because the information that it uses to run the Wi-Fi probably got clobbered during the update process. So that's another trick there. Finally, Dr. Bob.
Dr. Bob.
I got asked this morning, I need a new printer. Which one should I get?
Come on, you have nanites in your blood. You were born with that. Free ions of something or another. You look at electronic things and they tell you what's wrong with them. I don't get that.
Well, I did a little research, and we've reported on these before. The Epson EcoTank series of printers make a whole lot of sense because, yes, you can get a printer for $90. You also end up spending about
a fortune,
$70 or $80 every time you need to refill the cartridges. And the worst thing you can do is get a printer with all the colors in a single color cartridge.
Oh, that's dreadful. Yeah,
because if one color runs short, you got to throw out the whole $40 cartridge. That's dumb. it's just stupid. So,
well, it's certainly a waste of your money, and that's not a good design anymore.
Better choice is to get a printer that has a separate cartridge for each color.
And high-end printers like plotters and stuff, they do have that.
Right. They have a CYMK.
Yeah, not a typical home printer type arrangement, but it should be.
Now, some Epsons actually have six cartridges. They have variations on the cyan and magenta colors.
Right.
But they're still, the cartridges are $20-$30 a pop. And anymore, it's getting harder and harder. The printer manufacturers, if they detect that you are trying to use a refilled cartridge, will reject it. The solution, you want to spend a little more upfront on a Epson EcoTank series printer, because instead of cartridges, you actually have little reservoirs that you refill from a bottle, and the bottles are only about $12 each.
Makes so much sense.
Yeah, it does. You get a lot more pages, and the printers are built to be a little more durable. They get very high ratings, so you can shop around. The one I recommended for our friend Trish was about $259, which is expensive for a printer, but it is an all-in-one. It does the faxing, does the copying.
If you have need of all of that.
If you have need of all those features. Does scanning.
Over time, though, when you add up buying a $100 printer and then the amount that you put in ink, it does not take you long to catch up to that other $159.
Over the life of that printer, if you last that printer 5 years, you think about the amount you're going to spend on ink.
Absolutely.
It's a bloody fortune. So that was the advice from Dr. Bob. For what it's worth, and I'm sure that I will get corrected on several fronts.
I think we should call you Electron Bob.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, not Dr. Bob, Electron Bob.
A couple of quickies. If you thought that the NES Classic, the Nintendo Entertainment System Classic, it was all the neat old, almost Minecraft-looking 2D games from the 80s era, the Nintendo Entertainment Series System console, they brought out a retro version called the NES Classic Edition. Just a couple of months after its introduction, it is being pulled from production. So if you haven't, if you're yearning for those games of your youth, you will be out of luck. I expect these things will be popping up on eBay before long. What's neat about this is that instead of the $30 cartridge for every single game, it has 30 classic games into a tiny replica of the original Nintendo hardware, and had an HDMI output so you can plug it into a modern TV.
Ooh.
However, the supply chain that retailers said they'd get a new shipment and they'd be sold instantly. The device had sold about 200,000, but they are discontinuing production of the NES Classic, meaning, of course, that they will be pretty much sought-after collector's items. So maybe not a dumb idea on their part.
Maybe not intentional either.
It may not have been. It could be that maybe a chip that they needed to make that thing work. Who knows? Certainly the sales would have supported continued production. Real quick before we take the bottom of the hour break, next big thing from Tesla. Now we're waiting on the Model 3 Tesla. I've seen a few Teslas around town.
Yep, I have too.
By the way, the state of California is going to stop giving you the free electricity.
Yeah.
In 2020.
Or
but by then,
free electricity for the. Well, how would they know whether that's for your car or not?
Well, it's the charge. They have the universal charging station,
right.
not the superstation, the superchargers that Tesla uses, but for all the other brands,
right.
The rechargeable cars. California has been giving out free charging stations.
Oh, around town you could plug your car in.
Yeah.
Copy that.
And they have the special connector.
Right.
So it takes a lot of current to recharge one.
We saw those in Portland.
Yep. And in fact, there is a coffee shop north of us here that has one of
has
these things
one,
in the backyard.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
With the multiple connectors.
Yeah.
Musk is saying that Tesla is going to be putting out a semi-truck, and it looks like a cute little pickup truck, but it is going to be all electric, and it's intended to do short-haul freight, which makes a lot of sense because most of the time these things sit there idling while a delivery is being made, spewing out diesel. So this makes a lot of sense. And where you've got access to recharge this stuff, this is a good move on Tesla's part.
Sort of looks like a Volkswagen bus pickup in a way. It looks a lot like that.
Boomer Tech Radio, Bob and Brenda here, back after these messages.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work. Something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, brought to you by Powerhouse Solar of Reading, Sundays at noon on KCNR.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Lawlessness. The cause of lawlessness is the absence of godly moral values. Godly moral values are absolute and unchangeable. This absence of godly morals is the result of the deliberate killing of God in the hearts and minds of people, beginning with our children. This is done by corrupt leaders so that they are the ones who decide what is morally right or wrong. Look around you. What you see is the result of this kind of moral decay. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Shasta High School's award-winning music department is pleased to present its 47th annual spring musical, George and Ira Gershwin's Crazy for You, April 27th through 29th and May 4th through 6th at the David Marr Theater in Reading. This romantic comedy will include professional costumes and staging and feature a live orchestra. Recommended for ages 4 years and up, tickets can be purchased online now at ShastaWolves.com or ShastaHighChoir.com. Tickets are $15 in advance, $20 at the door. Get your tickets now for the best seats available.
It's rodeo time. Steer wrestling, team roping, saddle bronc riding, barrel racing, and of course, bull riding. The 2017 Reading Rodeo is coming, and our own Reading Rodeo is the 2016 Hall of Fame inductees. And you can be there this year for all the action-packed fun. Get your advance tickets at ReadingRodeo.com and click on tickets. We will see you and all of your friends at the 2017 Reading Rodeo, May 17th through the 20th. That's ReadingRodeo.com.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
And we're back. It's Boomer Tag Radio. I'm Bob. She's Brenda. Alan is out for the week. Hope to see him back. So last week we talked about the Galaxy S8. You've started seeing ads for that. I'm not sure what whales have to do with a smartphone. Have you seen the Galaxy S8?
I haven't seen that ad. Saw the one that says, if you buy one, you get a Galaxy Gear, I believe.
Yeah.
Which is really not that big a deal, but at the same time, buy one S8 phone and you get a free mm-hmm. Galaxy Gear.
So, of course, with the S8, Samsung has introduced their own, as if we needed yet another personal digital assistant out there in the ecosystem, Galaxy has introduced their own named Bixby.
I like the name.
I'm going to predict right now it's going to fall flat on its face because we do not need another intelligent assistant in the ecosystem.
It would have to be faster, better, more accurate, whatever. And anyone with an Android phone is kind of in the U.S. and Europe is pretty used to the Google version.
Yeah. And I think that this is a misstep on the – and it's possibly why the Bixby is not fully operational on the phones that are being sold right now.
Well, get this. The English version – is not available until late April. So pretty much have to speak and understand Korean for that to happen. Yeah, that sort of thing. And so that's a very interesting thing. Why do these companies release some of these things before they're really ready for release?
Well, there's pressure to get your product on the street.
Yeah, but if it's a dog, people try it and say, well, that doesn't work for me. The odds of them coming back later, you really have to work at it. I think. I know that's what I do. It's like a restaurant. You go to the restaurant, it's like, well, it was okay, but, you know, you're just a long time getting back there to try it again, if ever. Yeah.
We have been using Facebook Messenger increasingly because we have a situation that requires several members of the family to stay in touch. And a couple of family members live in less than ideal cell connections.
Right, so it's the most efficient way for us to communicate.
Regular SMS doesn't work well.
Right.
So we've been using Facebook Messenger, and more than just sending text to each other, Facebook has been building out the app to handle a variety of functions, including monetary transactions. And in order to make it pay for itself, you're going to start seeing more ads popping up in your chats.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bad enough that if you're trying to go through your Facebook feed, you have to see these inserted ads. And I get that somebody had, you know, you have to pay the piper at some point on this. But you have to figure out at what point does it become so irritating that people will walk away from the service. And there's a little bit of arrogance on the part of Facebook that we can do, you know, everybody loves us, we can do anything we want.
And it will be good.
And you will love it.
You will love it, yes.
Yeah, there's a little of Apple's ethos in there.
That's what really gets me is that it's, oh, we did this great thing for you. Isn't it wonderful? You will like it.
It's not a bug, it's a feature.
Exactly.
Messenger's big thing has been, of course, peer-to-peer payments. Now, I've never sent a payment through Messenger because, frankly, I don't have a need to do that, and I would be a little nervous about it. Facebook generated $753 million from payments during 2016, mostly from in-app purchases from games on its platform. But that almost $1 billion was less than 3%. Of their revenue advertising on Facebook, hopefully not by the same folks who did the Burger King ad, $27 billion last year.
And you know what? It's all lost on me because I don't pay attention to those ads. It's just like the suggested posts in Facebook, which is an ad. Mm-hmm. And it's like, go away.
Yeah.
You know, but there's no such thing as a free lunch, right?
Right.
It's a quote-unquote free app. Well, you have to put up with some of this nonsense.
Well, it's the same with Google, Gmail.
Oh, yeah.
Or Hotmail, any of those. You are giving up a certain amount of personally identifiable information, not a lot, but a certain amount, and to which they can use to feed you ads. And there's a certain amount of trust. Personally, I would not plot the overthrow of the government or world domination using Facebook Messenger or anything.
Probably
or
a bad
Gmail,
idea.
You know?
Yeah, it's, you know, gonna the keywords that are in there get kind
of
picked
well,
up.
Well, as a matter of fact, there was a movement for a time for people who wanted to mess with the Homeland Security, for people to pack their emails full of terms like pressure cooker, and other words.
Yeah, I'm such a pressure cooker at work.
Yeah.
You know.
Just to load up your emails with all these keywords and just basically flood the system.
I need fertilizer for the garden.
Yeah, yeah, you know. If I don't get enough fertilizer for my bomb, if I don't get enough fertilizer for the garden, this project will bomb. You know,
yeah,
something like that. That's fine if you want to tweak the nose of the government. I'm not too sure how wise that is. But anyway, hey, there's a home robotics. Now, we've talked about home robotics and people who have limited mobility or who need to be monitored on a continuous basis, or basically just need somebody who will watch over them, who is immune to verbal abuse. Because, let's face it, a lot of people, when they are in a certain stage of life,
are very vulnerable to that.
They're vulnerable, and a lot of people, they can become verbally abusive because they're angry and they're scared.
Angry, scared, frustrated, and all of the above.
They'll take out their fear on family members and even people who are hired to work for them. And, you know, that builds into a cycle where there's resentment and really bad things can happen. But a lot of large companies are looking into how they can address this potential market of in-home robotics. Now, there's a subsidiary of Bosch, and Bosch makes a lot of it's a
very
big, big German company.
Things, yeah.
They make a lot of power tools. They make
kitchen appliances.
Yeah. The subsidiary is called Mayfield Robotics. They have a system called Curry. Toyota and Honda are working into robots to help people going into their senior years remain independent. Now, there's another outfit called Omni Labs, and it's spelled OHM, like ohm, which is an electronic term.
Yep, an ohm.
OmniLabs.
An electrical unit.
Thinks that a human connection is what will convince people to bring robots into their homes. Our first robot is built, which is called Omni, or maybe it's Omni. It looks like Omni. Built with bringing people together in mind. It's a home robot, telepresence, and it looks like a little wheeled platform with a tablet stuck on a pole.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like.
Now, you've started to see these in these telepresence offices because essentially the rest of the mechanism hauls the tablet around, which is doing a two-way conversation.
So think of it as Skype on your tablet on wheels.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
The whole thing weighs about 20 pounds, folds down. People can move it around. It's the whole point is to seamlessly – is basically it is a tablet that can follow you around and or be sent to a particular location in the house. Now, yeah, there's a possibility of hacking one of these things, but the whole idea is that if you have a parent who maybe has trouble interfacing with people face-to-face – if they haul off and swat this thing, you might be out a couple hundred bucks, but you don't have a lawsuit on your hands.
Well, there's that, or, you just need a way to keep an eye on a family member or
right,
something.
Right, right.
Periodically, and you're at work, you can do this via the robot.
I see robotic caregiving dog, probably in the shape of a dog, in the next 10 years that will be a marketable device. Where it can take vital signs, it can analyze voice patterns, maybe even be picking up a remote heart monitor. Maybe it would have sensitive enough audio that it could actually listen to the person's heartbeat, and when it starts hearing trouble, call for help. Which would be a or if it sees the if it discovers the person, it does nothing until it realizes that the person it's caring for is laying on the floor.
Well, one of the interesting things is that one of the developers of this thing had a Omni in their house, was doing some preliminary testing, and they had a user that was out there, beta testing this thing, and he had one in his mother's house who was did not have very good English skills, and he called his mom, and he was worried when she didn't answer, so he activated the robot, found her in her bed nearly unresponsive because it turned out she was very, very ill.
Mm.
And he was able to call 911 and another family member while staying in touch with her via the robot, and they managed to get her to the hospital where she was treated. And so in this case, it may have saved her life because they
right.
maybe aren't there all the time and they could check up on these things.
Yeah, the I've fallen and I can't get up pendant is a great thing. But if the person has had a syncopal episode, in other words, passed out, or they have fallen and been knocked unconscious. Now, some of these pendants have a methodology where they will trigger if the person does not move after a given
right.
length of time. Combine that with the ability to remote monitor the person. And yes, there's a certain privacy issue. Could it be hacked? Possibly. But it's another tool in the toolbox to consider. It's not an all-in-one solution, but it's an idea that will be part of a package of solutions to help these people live longer and more productive lives.
Well, too, if...
more comfortable lives, anyway.
You have family members that are on a business trip or something of that nature, I assume the other end can just be a tablet and you can have them at the
right,
dinner table
right.
when they're not really at the dinner table.
Correct.
You can have some kind of conversation and they can be present without being physically present.
Let's suppose that somebody has a compromised immune system.
Yeah, maybe is not able to actually,
be among other people.
Bubble boy kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah.
yeah. Be out in the wild community.
So it's like I said, there is no one size fits all solution for any of this stuff. But we are getting more, like I said, tools in the toolbox. Meanwhile, in the city, go ahead.
I was just going to say these robotics. This is a very doable, realistic use of robotics in this since these aren't necessarily smart devices with, you know, some kind of AI that has to make a lot of decisions. It's very basic, simple decisions, but it allows you to do more than just call or what have you in this particular case.
And Japan, which has an even worse aging population problem than we have here in the United States, they are heavily researching assistive technologies.
And there may be some psychological benefits to this, too, where the shut-ins or the seniors that don't have...
Again, the device doesn't get mad.
Right. It doesn't get mad, but it's something that the person can talk to or have it talk to them and improve that. It's like they say, have a pet, you know, that's healthy for you.
Yeah. Speaking of bots in the city by the bay, Yelp is... experimenting with a grounded drone, a wheeled drone made by a company called Marble. It's designed to carry perishable cargo and to do unmanned food deliveries for what's called the Eat 24 service. It's going around SF's Mission and Potrero Hill. Now, right now, there's a human handler who walks along with the autonomous bot to make sure that, and probably taking notes to make sure that things go smoothly and nobody runs up and kicks the thing over and starts beating on it with a hammer to steal the food inside. Although I imagine
this is going to be very interesting because, you know, is street thievery going to take a new high-tech twist of where, you know, get hack these things, right?
Turn them into, I don't know. They can only do about 4 miles an hour.
They go off track or what have you, or ways to make the company think that it's going the way that it was intended to go, but it's not really going that way.
Yeah.
Instead, it's one of those Star Trek tricks of, you know, derailing the sensors. I don't know.
Well, things can go wrong, but
of course,
I think in a fairly controlled environment, this has got some.
But if these are going to be unsupervised, and then how many companies want to put these on the streets and all the sidewalks, and people are going to complain that
it ran over my dog.
Yeah, it ran over my dog. It ran over my foot. There's no room for people. You know, you see those pictures in New York City of people on the sidewalks. Where's the room for the delivery bots there?
Well, that's why Amazon wants to play with their drones that fly about 50 feet up. By the way, these robots that are essentially ice coolers, you know, they're essentially coolers with wheels on them.
Right. Programmed to go from point A to point B.
Are using the NVIDIA TX1 Jetson, I love that name, supercomputers to digest all the data that's coming from their cameras, LiDAR, and ultrasonic sensors. In other words, rather than just a camera, it combines the data from all these different sensors to get a very accurate 360-degree 3D view of the world around it and act accordingly.
Yeah, it may, like, not run into stuff.
Yeah.
And know exactly where it is.
Yeah. So far, we haven't come up with one that'll climb stairs yet, so if you if you don't live on the ground floor, you're kind of SOL.
Well, no, you could program it to get in the elevator.
Mm-hmm. So one of the products that Brenda had to physically pull me away from at Consumer Electronics Show at CES was all the drones from DJI.
They're pretty slick.
They are pretty slick. DJI is now refreshing their Phantom 4.
Again?
Yes, they are, with the advanced entry-level model that shoots 4K 60-frame-a-second video. Has a half-hour flight time, and they go for about $1,300. Now, by the time you buy
all the attachments,
extra batteries and really, and I'm here to tell you, as a videographer, I did a project that I got shots that there is no way on God's green earth I could have gotten those shots on my budget.
Absolutely.
Helicopters are notoriously expensive, not to mention getting a permit to fly a helicopter over this particular area. A friend of mine brought out a drone, flew it. We got some spectacular shots, inserted them into the video, and just got a lot of wow from people because we got shots that were utterly impossible to get under these circumstances.
It's interesting that in a lot of recent movies that I've seen, there's obviously – drone footage in that, and people are beginning to kind of expect to see it. So it looks like you're in an airplane, but of course you're not.
Yeah.
That's not not filmed with an aircraft, it would be way too expensive, which is why you haven't seen a lot of that kind of
Well, even setting up a crane or a boom or something like
very
that
expensive.
Is an all-day proposition. Yeah. This thing, we just got down there about an hour before we wanted to do the shoot.
Pull it out of the box and send it on its way, and you got it.
Yeah.
It's like no zero setup.
Yep. Now, the company of DJI has their less expensive Mavic Pro, which goes for about $1,000. That's a fold-up model. The new Phantom 4 Advance and Advance Plus give you a lot more features for about the same amount of money. And the base Phantom 4 is being discontinued soon. But if I were in the market for a camera drone, I would probably go with a DJI. They've become sort of the kahuna in that business right now.
Yeah, they're sort of like what GoPro was to the GoPro type camera.
I haven't heard much about the GoPro drone, the Karma.
Well,
I know they reintroduced it after they fixed the whole battery falling out of its belly thing. Bombs
it
away!
It had a rather disastrous start to that project. Yes. Haven't heard anything. So maybe it's not so great, but it's not so bad either. Sometimes when it's not mentioned too much, it's not a total disaster, but it's not necessarily great either.
The advanced DJI drone now comes with a built-in 5-inch 1080p display, so you don't have to tie your tablet to it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the 1080 Advanced Plus is about $1,700. They should start shipping about April 30th. And if, like I said, again, the restrictions are you can't take these things. You have to, first of all, file with the FAA.
Right, you have to register them,
You cannot fly more than 400 feet. You have severe restrictions if you're within, I think, a four-mile radius of an airport. So check your local codes before you don't just get one of these things, take it out of the box, and send it off into the sky. That's a kind of a no-no.
I'm reminded of a question from a young person the other day in a class that was involved with, and the question was about crank calling, where you call in a not real emergency to 911. So this was the latest rage for a while in, you know, active shooter in this area, and the cops show up en masse, and there's absolutely nothing
right,
there.
Right,
that is highly illegal. And I said, furthermore, if something happens that to someone, while all these resources are over here trying to rescue the non-existent thing, then and you get caught and somebody dies because resources weren't available to go help them,
you are liable.
You're liable for that. And that made the person's eyes flare open. They hadn't even thought of that. We're completely unfamiliar with that idea. And you know, some of these same things apply with these drones from the point of view that, you know, if you're going to get one, just do it right. It's not that complicated. And stay away from airports. I don't understand people that have to be in the thick of emergency situations with their drone or near an airport and put lots of resources and people at risk. Just don't do it. Yeah. What's your problem?
Yeah. Finally, I know at least a couple of people who are working for Uber. Friend of mine back east spends a couple hours a day out there driving, and some days are good and some days are not so good. Well, right now Uber's in a lot of trouble. First of all, they're in a big tussle with Waymo, which is the Google. They're in a big tussle with Google over some location data. Of course, they're an ongoing battle with Lyft. Unions are going after
them. Yeah,
I was
going to say there's a lot of municipalities that are looking at licensing and all of that kind of stuff.
Well, another revelation of ethically questionable business practice by Uber this time. And they're in enough trouble with the sexual harassment stuff. But they've been secretly tracking drivers for Lyft, which is a competing outfit, in order to try to catch them. The software they were using is called Hell, because there's a long story behind that, but it's essentially allowed them to spy on where the Lyft drivers were and to
try to steal the ride.
Try to steal the rides away. The software was called Hell in reference to GodView, a tool for tracking the location of customers, and was infamously abused by Uber employees to stalk journalists, celebrities, and ex-girlfriends.
Good heavens, people.
Now, Uber CEO Travis Kalanick has already been called on the carpet for just basically being an obnoxious person. They've got the court battle, like I said, with Waymo over the theft of intellectual property. And their communications head, Rachel Whetstone, originally quit because of the internal conflicts. So it looks like there's rough waters ahead for Uber, which is why they want to get rid of the drivers entirely and go completely autonomous. But they got to survive long enough to do that.
Well, or it'll resurface as something else, but, you know, Uber free or something. Who knows?
All the time for this hour, it's Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. Whatever you do, wherever you go, be safe. Be good to each other. Back for another hour after the news.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
And they also heard speeches like this one from Cho Ryung-hae, the vice chairman of the North Korean State Affairs Commission, saying, "If the United States recklessly provokes us, our revolutionary power will strike the enemies to annihilate them." Meanwhile, Vice President Mike Pence visiting South Korea tomorrow.
The vice president's visit, part of an Asia-Pacific trip, comes amid indications that North Korea is potentially preparing its sixth nuclear test in a decade or a significant missile launch. President Trump has responded to recent concerns over North Korea with a new tougher stance. A U.S. aircraft carrier has been dispatched to waters off the Korean Peninsula in a show of force.
Correspondent Ken Lorman reports military officials are saying the U.S. does not intend to use military force against the North in response to either a nuclear test or a missile launch. The Army tapping reservists with cyber skills to fight ISIS militants.
Our military is looking for new ways to bring in more civilians with high-tech skills who can help fight Islamic State militants. Officials are also looking for computer experts to help the military prepare for the new range of high-tech threats that our country will face. That means finding National Guard and Reserve members with technical expertise in digital forensics and writing computer code.
That's Andrew Stewart reporting. President Trump used his weekly address to say America has always worshipped freedom of has always cherished freedom of worship.
Sadly, many around the globe do not enjoy this freedom. And one of the gravest threats to religious freedom remains the threat of terror.
In NBA playoff action, it is Cleveland leading Indianapolis 57-50. This is townhall.com.
Amazing to realize, but you know, it's been almost 2 years I've been talking with you about Relief Factor, and I can tell you I've been continually inundated with testimonials. This is Michael Medved, and I've received thousands of testimonials that come in telling me how excited people are to be out of pain. Like Bob from Ohio, who writes, "I had a herniated disc in my back in 1984. I started taking Relief Factor, and for the first time, I have been completely out of constant, sometimes excruciating pain. I'm now able to work in the yard, around the house, and do my job in comfort. This is a great product." That's the end of the quote. If you're struggling with ongoing back or neck pain, shoulder, hip or knee pain, or general muscle pain, aches, pains of any kind, do what tens of thousands of others have done so successfully. Go to ReliefFactor.com and order their 3-week quick start for just $19.95. 1-800-500-8384. That's 1-800-500-8384.
Voters in Turkey head to the polls Sunday to vote whether on a constitutional change that would abolish the office of the prime minister, handing all executive power to the president. Ozan Seker, a political analyst, says the decision to hold a referendum comes as the Turkish economy took a downturn.
There was economic growth in the early 2000s. But of course, in the last few years, what we see is that the tide has changed. And the current government thinks the solution to instability lies in monopolizing more power and turning more authoritarian through democratic means.
Critics argue a yes vote would cement President Erdogan's hold on power in a system that will have few checks and balances. Two trains collided at a station in Vienna, Austria today, injuring seven people. Officials there say 30 people were on the train at the time. An investigation is ongoing. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Figures from Microsoft show consumers are losing $1 billion as a result of ransomware cyber attacks. Microsoft cybersecurity expert David Weston says ransomware is a form of malware that is covertly installed on your computer or device and holds your data hostage unless you pay the perpetrator. Weston says it's important computer owners keep their antivirus software up to date.
Making sure you have the latest signatures will ensure that very new versions of ransomware will be detected and removed automatically. Keep your data and digital life safe.
Weston advises users to avoid clicking on links and opening attachments or emails from people or businesses they don't know or conduct business with. Delta letting employees offer customers nearly $10,000 in compensation to give up seats on overbooked flights, hoping to avoid an uproar like the one that erupted at United Airlines in Chicago this past week. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
And hello once again, it's Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. Analog living in a digital world. You're giving me that look. I know I didn't do my normal introduction to the second hour.
We know how I am. Yeah.
Devil's
in the details,
yes,
right?
If you missed the first hour of this show, of course, you can go to boomertechradio.com. That's where I'd like to see you go. Or you can go to the KCNR 1460 archives, or you can subscribe to our podcast, which we are seeing our download numbers start to mount up. We're on iTunes, Google Play, and soon to arrive with a updated version on iTunes on iHeartRadio, where we've been for quite some time, according to one of our loyal listeners. But we're also going to be out there on Stitcher and possibly iPodder as well, a couple other distribution platforms.
Some interesting names.
Not to be confused with the iPoddy. Yes.
Yeah, that's what made me raise an eyebrow. That sounds way too close.
Yeah, it does. So a couple of things we wanted to touch on in this hour. Apple wanting to get into healthcare in a big way. Now, we've heard about using our smartphones to serve as not only our wallets, our reading devices, our communication system, but now
entertainment center,
but now an extension of for our medical care. So, Brenda, you've been looking at this.
Well, if you are a diabetic and are very familiar with poking yourself at least once a day, at a minimum, and for many, several times a day, in order to get a blood sample to put into the test strips that go into the glucose meters. What if you didn't have to do that anymore? Wouldn't that be nice? And Apple has entered the world of this biomedical sensing with an attempt at designing a sensor that shines light through your skin is one technology. Whether they're going to do it that way or not is another story. Perhaps they didn't.
Just Apple.
No, there's actually more than one company. But Apple, of course, you get into the ecosystem with Apple, and they, you know, they want to be your all in everything type of thing. And they have some heavyweights working in their research team that come from firms like Masimo Corporation, Sano, Medtronic, and C8 Metasensors.
Medtronic is really big.
Is very big. And these were people that were working for them, you know, well-known types, and Apple's managed to hire them away from that. And so there's Fitbits are a good example of monitoring things where you can have it hooked up to your smartphone or whatever. And so this would be no different than that. Just have a little sensor thing, and it tests out your blood sugar, and off you go. So I'm sure they have to go through exhaustive testing, because there has to be a certain amount of accuracy here. Those who are insulin dependent rely on, you know, not overdosing or underdosing their insulin.
And the thing is that if you're just using a test meter, your insurance company will let you do it once or twice per day. That's all that they will provide the strips for. This technology, which is called continuous glucose monitoring, you as a scientist know that if you just took one temperature reading per day, that would not give you a real good if you
picture
didn't know
of what's going on.
Because you need a high and a low, and the more data points that you have, the better picture you get, and so it is with any set of data.
Absolutely.
So continuous glucose monitoring systems through smartphones are good at collecting data, especially on us. These require a little tiny needle that's almost too small to feel, and it doesn't go deep enough to stimulate the nerves. It goes in and it analyzes what's called the interstitial fluid, and then it wirelessly transmits the data to a receiver. The company that's doing that right now is Dexcom, but they have an app that works with the iPhone and the Apple Watch. But Apple's system that they want to bring to market would use light or a mild electrical current. Ask Brenda about mild electrical current.
Yeah. So you don't get poked and stung that way. You get zapped by electricity and zapped way, right?
Well, it just needs to be very extremely small currents. The accuracy, of course, is in question, because the end game of all of this is for people who have type 1 diabetes is to have an insulin pump that, rather than have, as it is right now, if somebody has an insulin pump, they have to take the reading and then punch the numbers into their pump's control, which is something that you have to remember to do. And if your sugar is low and you're just kind of going, how can you, you're in trouble. And your mental state is all fouled up. So you can't get the numbers right.
Yeah, might not be
or
able to.
Or if you punch in the wrong numbers.
Translate those numbers automatically. But it's a way to be able to stay healthier in a less invasive way. And if this could be automated, then perhaps the insulin pump would be fully automated that way as well. And people could be a lot freer of having to, be tied to some device or something all the time.
Right. Now, the Medtronic insulin pump has an integrated continuous glucose monitor, because it's already stuck in your hide, if you will.
Yeah.
So it's getting the samples that it needs. Could these things be – could they malfunction? Yes. Could they be hacked? Yes. But people get in trouble because they forget to take their medications. Or they get confused and they wind up taking too much medication, or they skip it altogether, or they get a attitude. So the possibility of a machine malfunctioning is far less than any of those above scenarios. So it'll be interesting to see it. We've been hearing about medical applications for our portable devices for quite some time now.
Yep, it's true. And it more and more your smartphone becomes the center of all things, your calendar, a calculator, your phone. You can write documents on it if you really wanted to. That's a bit awkward in some cases, but it's amazing how they pack all this thing into a smartphone. So, you know, certainly there's going to be people who don't want to have such automated devices, but I could see Apple developing an independent device that is a standalone that doesn't require the connection to the smartphone or what have you.
I still remember the first time I saw a computer that was running Windows Vista. Belonged to a neighbor who called me over because he had just
gotten
a new computer. You know, I was still running on XP on everything. It was about 10 years ago. I looked at this thing and I go, where is everything? Windows Vista was supposed to be a streamlined, super slick interface. And in fact, it was a monumental disaster. It was bloated. The interface, it was tough on the older hardware. It took a very beefy computer to run it. It was essentially, XP's interface looks like, XP had a good, solid, if somewhat chunky looking interface, but it worked. That was the thing about
XP was around for a long time.
Right.
It was also pretty stable. You didn't have a lot of problems with it.
Vista, by contrast, was very artsy, glass and mist, rays of light in the fog. Everything was translucent. You can make the windows fly around in 3D. It had an awful lot of graphics demand, and it never quite worked. It required a very high-end system to run well. The interface, which was called Aero, moved everything around. Well, running Vista felt like driving a heavy truck, according to some people. By the end of Vista's life cycle, it ran well, and a lot of people are sad to see it go because the end of life is hit for Vista. It will no longer be supported. So just as was the case with XP a couple of years ago, Vista is heading off to the digital dump site, soon to be followed by Windows 7. Now, Windows 7, of course, this gave rise to the gag line that every other Windows system sucks. So, XP, good. Vista, 7, good. 8, 8.1, kind of so-so, and 10 is kind of what we've got now.
All right. So, be wary of the next Windows version, right?
Yeah. Again, they skipped Windows 9 entirely for reasons that I will not bore you with, but there was a reason for skipping Windows 9. It was, however, very futuristic. There are legacy bits of the Vista operating system floating around in Windows 10. Windows 10 is kind of combining the best elements of XP, of Vista, and 8 into its interface. And for most people, it works unless, of course, you get stuck in that endless loop like we talked about last hour. So farewell, Vista. Hasta la vista, baby.
Hasta la vista.
So let's face it. The stock speakers in your flat screen TV stink.
Well, intentionally.
Yeah.
Because part of it is that they knew people wouldn't be using them.
Right.
And
it's hard to get good sound out of a plastic cabinet. That's only
thin.
That's very, very thin.
Yes.
And doesn't have enough heat dissipation to put a powerful amplifier in. Just a few years ago, you had to pay well over $400 for a good sound bar. What's a sound bar? It's a long, skinny speaker with an array of speakers in it that are designed to create a wide sound stage using some digital trickery.
Yes, a little trickery. So it makes it sound like you're, you know, in a much bigger room or have a much bigger sound system than you do, which is kind of nice because they are compact. They don't take up a lot of room.
Now, prices on soundbars for your big screen TV are dropping rapidly. Here's a couple of them for less than $200. This article comes to us courtesy of CNET. Yamaha. Now, the first time we heard a Yamaha soundbar, it was a $1,500 monster at CES that filled the room. Remember that one? It had about
it was pretty
50
nice.
Speakers in it, about the size of a quarter each.
That's pretty crazy.
Amazing sound, but nobody. But it was a $1,500 speaker, too.
Right. That's a early adopter, high-end adopter type right. stuff.
The Yamaha YAS-106 is $199. It doesn't have a subwoofer, but it gives a good home theater sound. Still manages to put out a pretty healthy amount of bass and has HDMI, that's the high-definition interface plug, the standard HD plug, and is basically an ultra budget model. And if you don't have room to put a subwoofer on your floor, this is the one you want to go with. Now, Polk Audio has been in this business
for a long time.
Very well recognized brand. Their Cigna S1 costs about $179, has a good, deep, rumbly sub. And I got to tell you, what is it we're watching these days? We're watching Luke Cage.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of bass. It starts, we have a big subwoofer that just shakes the house. In fact, I got to turn that thing down just a little bit because I'm starting to see cracks in the plaster.
the cats go nuts, too.
If you have an apartment, subwoofers are not a good idea.
Yeah, that would tend to annoy people. The thing is, they can't always tell where it's coming from, though.
Mm-hmm. Bass is very non-directional, so you can set the subwoofer module pretty much anywhere in the room, and you'll get some decent sound out of it. JBL's Boost TV is a very compact sound bar.
About $150.
Yeah, the whole idea is that JBL's speaker, the Boost TV, is very good for dialogue. So if you watch a lot of talk shows, things like that.
Jeopardy,
yeah. Now, that's one complaint I have with my current system is that dialogue sometimes gets lost in the effects.
A little muddy, yes.
So we're actually shopping for a sound bar solution for our setup. If you want to go a little bit above $300, you can look.
Like anything else, you end up getting a little more what you pay for. Sometimes it's worth, instead of spending $150, if you spend $250, you might get a whole lot more bang for the buck, if you will. Even though it's more expensive, you would have longer-term satisfaction out
right.
of the product.
I'm looking at a couple of different models right now, and if we pick one, hey, manufacturers, if you're listening to this show, send us a demo so we can.
That would be nice.
We'd be glad to. Hey, we've done a couple of reviews for folks, and maybe somebody will say, yeah, we got one, we'll send you. So let's see here. We talked about that. I'm going through some of the stories that we've. People who. Have MacBook Pros. This is interesting. They're talking about a mysterious popping sound coming out of their very expensive laptops. Numerous annoyed customers were taken to the Apple support discussion board, saying the popping noise seems to be most common. It sounds like a clicking or creaking you hear when you're squeezing a plastic bottle. Unclear what it's doing. One of the things the complaint shares that it tends to occur during more intensive tasks like gaming and image and video editing. So I'm wondering if it has to do with the variable speed fans, because when you're working your graphics card hard, like on my MacBook 2012 MacBook Pro, the fan just kicks into hyperdrive when I'm doing video editing on it because the graphics processor is being worked extra hard. So one of the complaints was when I use the laptop in my lap and the fan comes on, I notice occasionally clicking occurs near the top of the speaker bill. Almost sounds like what you would hear when metal contracts or expands when heated. So it's possible that maybe there's a heat sink or something there, or even something as like the fan blade is touching the housing occasionally.
You know those clickers you can buy that sound like, well, they were kids' toys, sound like crickets, or dog trainers use them sometimes, where it's a metal strip that pops. You know, you click on it. I wonder if it's a noise like that, in which case it might be a part in there that does something of that nature, but who knows? It remains a mystery. There's no, according to this article, it's not clear what it is.
Now, there are some who claim that the bottom cover of the computer is very thin, And it's possible, you know, and it, you know, because Apple's whole thing is thin and light computers.
Right.
It's possible that they've made the base plate on the bottom of the MacBook too thin, and that it's getting a dented, and it is, and the fan is tapping the case.
Well, some folks had that fixed, and it didn't matter.
Yeah,
it came back. So, who knows? That somebody will solve that mystery eventually.
Now, remember last week, Alan and I kind of caused your eyes to glaze over talking about gaming systems?
For me, yeah.
Well, I kind of wish he was here this week because there's his new favorite thing on the horizon, I guess, was the Nintendo Switch, which was going to be a big, you know, the... And where Nintendo dropped the ball, of course, according to Alan, was that the Wii U, even though it was a completely different product than the original Wii, they didn't really make that clear in their promotion. And so the Wii U never really caught a big sales wind.
Maybe they need to hire Burger King's advertising agency.
Right, there is no such thing as bad advertising, I guess. Nintendo has made an announcement that they're bringing out some more games. Now, the Switch was originally launched with the Legend of Zelda reboot. A lot of gamers are hoping there's some more titles to be added to the thin launch library. One of the big announcements is Nintendo has an interesting new game called ARMS, where basically the characters have slinkies for arms. And you punch your opponents, and you can do like a kind of it's a long stretchy arm,
right,
that goes out to whack your opponents. Then there's another title called Splatoon 2, player versus environment, and I don't know anything about any of these games, so I'm going to have to. Mario Kart is on schedule. There's a Nintendo Switch edition of Minecraft, and then Remix Classic Ultra Street Fighter will be coming out as well. So I'll have Alan take a look at that as far as what's up, what's on deck for the Nintendo Switch. So as we talked about last week, the Switch is a console that is also a tablet, so you can have it as a very portable device, or you can plug it into your big screen. You made, you're talking about the one on the left or the one on the right? The new Google Earth. Yeah. That's, this looks to be really, really promising. If anything is going to really launch VR-type glasses, I think it's going to be a very immersive, you know, gaming, sports, and applications. Like the relaunch of Google Earth. You know, Google Earth was really big when it first came out. Everybody had to have it so you could zoom in on your street and things like that.
Of course.
But the new mapping apps kind of foreshadowed it because it's hard to navigate based on a picture. You want those street lines on there so you can reference what, you know, it's nice to have the map and then turn the satellite view on and off.
Yep.
The new Google Earth will be debuting on April the 18th. The press release isn't really indicating what to expect, but they promise a brand new experience. And a lot of folks are saying that must mean virtual reality.
Yeah, I would think so.
Tie in probably with Google Cardboard or the new Pixel headset,
yeah,
which looks very much like a Gear, but it doesn't a Samsung Gear. But, of course, the two aren't cross-compatible, unfortunately.
Right. So that'll be very interesting to see what happens. I can tell you that the new weather satellites are sending back high-definition imagery that is absolutely stunning. It is just an incredibly beautiful thing, and I've used facsimile charts of satellite imagery that today I would say, what is this? You know, I got used to them, mm-hmm, and they were horrid. They didn't have much detail on there at all compared to what we're used to. And now GO 16 is up and will either be moved into GOES East or GOES West weather satellite. And oh my gosh, you can go to NASA's site and look at that imagery, and it's just incredible. incredible what they're seeing.
How cool would it be to do a Superman thing where you start out in orbit and you have a continuous flight down, right down where you're flying just over the, you know, the nap of the Earth, seeing everything around you, flying through the air like the Man of Steel.
How cool would that be?
Sort
of like, you know, being on a drone.
Yeah.
Except that it comes from space.
Yeah. We're a long way still, of course.
Pretty neat.
The images on Google Earth are still anywhere from a couple of weeks to a couple of years old, depending on the popularity of the area. They update them. Most areas get updated in our neck of the woods about once a year.
If that.
Yeah, if that. So it would be interesting. Look for these things to get updated more frequently. Now, whatever is accessible to the public, you know that the military's got stuff that's a whole lot better. So. And there's demands from some governments that Google Earth block out their entire, you know, because they're showing military installations and things like that. And the government already, I guess, you can't zoom in on Area 51 or anything like that.
Maybe not.
Yeah, it's all fake anyway. It's
said tongue-in-cheek.
Very tongue-in-cheek. Hey, we come back. We've got lots more of the tech news you can use, including she was Facebook on the carpet once again. First, there are super intrusive ads on Messenger. Now they're being, again, looked at for spreading allegedly illegal content. We'll have that story and lots more of the tech news you can use right after these messages.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
It's raining diamonds at Goldmark Jewelers. Diamonds, diamonds, and more diamonds. Save an amazing 25% off all bridal mountings and 15% off all diamond fashion jewelry, including estate diamond jewelry. Find diamonds of every size, quality, and price as Goldmark Jewelers rains diamonds during the entire month of April. Remember, diamonds are a girl's best friend, and Goldmark is your diamond destination. Goldmark Jewelers in the Town and Country Square, Hilltop Drive, Reading. Open Monday through Saturday, 9:30 to 5:30. Close Sunday.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. Don't forget to add your favorite veggies, and if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at orchardnutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Sam, my son, it's time to talk.
Talk about what?
Fashion.
Hugh? Fashion?
Fashion and footwear.
No, and absolutely no.
Sam, it's time to walk a mile in her shoes to raise awareness about domestic violence and money to support One Safe Place.
Oh, why didn't you just say that?
Okay, I will. Join us on Saturday, May 6th for Walk a Mile in Her Shoes at 9 a.m. at the Red Lion Hotel on Hilltop Drive.
And bring your friends and family. Let's all walk for the cause.
You don't need high heels, just a heart to help. Visit ospshasta.org for more information.
The Red Bluff Roundup is on April 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Get your tickets now. $250,000 is up for grabs with 600 of the toughest cowboys. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab the good seats while you can. It's constant action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, and wild pony riding, rodeo clowns, and more. Friday night, brought to you by Food Max and Tri-County Bank. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7, and an after party with live music of Northern Heat. Saturday is Wells Fargo Bank and Red Bluff Dodge Day. Gates open at 12 and rodeo at 2:30, and an evening concert by Nashville recording artist Granger Smith.
If the boot fits.
And Sunday is St. Elizabeth Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Roundup office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
We're back for one more segment on Boomer Tech Radio, the tech news that you can use. And our theme music, composed and performed by George Wood, it's called 8-Bit Junkie, and is being used by permission. A big shout-out to Advanced Automotive of Reading. Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. Cody and Tim are great guys. If you are in the Northern California area, look them up at RepairPal.com. You were going to say?
Nothing. I was just pointing out.
Yes, you have a dog in your lap.
Yes.
Mocha the dog is accompanying us. And this is go ahead.
She thinks that you're talking, that we're talking to her. So she's furiously wagging her tail as she's standing in my lap. Clueless as to what's really going on.
I should post a picture of Mocha the dog on the website.
Yeah, you should.
She's our mascot here. If we sound a little bit frazzled, there's a family situation that has
been occupying our minds and hours this week. So a little behind the power curve here.
If we're sounding a little bit
zombie-ish,
drained, yeah, that's why. So no excuses.
I guess zombies don't speak in full sentences, so maybe we're not that bad off yet. It's more like, if we start sounding like that, call 911, please.
Well. This story popped up a couple of weeks ago, and Facebook wishes it would go away, but it hasn't yet. An investigation by a British newspaper into child sexual abuse content and terrorist propaganda being shared on Facebook has once again gotten attention drawn to how the company handles complaints about offensive and extremist content being shared on the platform. The allegations are that Facebook's user content sharing platform, user-generated content sharing platform, apparently encourages the spread of what can also be illegal material. In a report published today, the Times newspaper accuses Facebook of publishing child pornography after one of its reporters created a fake profile and was quickly able to find offensive and potentially illegal content on the site. Now, they contacted
They reported the content to Facebook, which promptly turned around and reported them to the authorities for accessing pornographic material on the Facebook site. Okay, you know. And this is the London Times. These people,
right.
This is a fairly...
So what's disturbing here, though, in this story is that when they reported the content to Facebook, but Facebook said that most of the images and whatnot were...
Didn't violate community standards.
Did not violate the site's community standards. Hello, some of that should have been if it's as egregious as it's described in the article here. But what was interesting is when they identified themselves as the paper, then it was taken more seriously, and it says some of the child pornography cartoons were removed, and maybe some of the moderators of those sites were removed as well. But Facebook says it's since removed all the content reported by the newspaper. But, you know, for everything that they remove, there's five more that pop up right behind it.
Right. The sheer volume of content being uploaded, it's estimated that every second, YouTube has the same problem. Every second, 11 hours of video content is uploaded to Facebook.
How could you possibly
keep up with that?
So there's a law in Germany that's been drafted that would propose to tackle the issue by imposing large fines and such like for the social media platforms that fail to quickly take down illegal content after someone has complained about it. And so it'll be interesting because, you know, how are these companies like Facebook, you know, they can't get it all. And what is community standards, I guess, in one place is maybe a little different in another place. Mm-hmm. Some people are offended by material that other people aren't, for instance. So how does that work? So those have to be defined and everybody has to have the same set of rules that they're playing by, I would assume.
And there's cultural differences between countries. What's perfectly fine
exactly.
in the U.S. will get you in a whole heap of trouble in a Indonesian country.
Right.
Facebook has implemented Microsoft's photo DNA technology. It scans all uploads for known images of child abuse. Now, how that's going?
Well,
pretty
I'm sure
deep
there's a
this.
Library of this yeah. stuff out there, right?
Yeah.
And so that library is just like facial recognition type things and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. It has to be similar technology. Just huge databases is what constitutes that.
And here I'm going to repeat my oft uttered prediction. Facebook Live, Periscope, those platforms, instant video platforms. I am really surprised that it has not happened yet. Somebody is going to precipitate a major. Look how
you
worked
just gave
up
a whole bunch of people this idea, dear.
If I'm thinking about it, you know that the bad guys have thought.
There's
about
a lot of other people that have thought of it.
Somebody is going to stage an event, possibly racial, because you see how fast these things spread. And
witness this week the airline incident.
The
guy, yes.
Yeah. How many cameras were on it?
Well, what you don't see in the video didn't occur. So people drew all these conclusions about what had actually happened.
Right. There's a rule of filmmaking that says if it's not in the frame, it doesn't exist. But your mind fills in the blanks of the other. You're looking at a 60-degree slice of the world. Your brain fills in the rest of the environment around that viewpoint. And that's the power and the danger of these sorts of platforms. So we're going to have to see what's going to happen with these sorts of things. So it's a big problem that that Facebook is definitely facing. Oh, let's see here. If you go to visit an Apple store, now there's no Apple store within about 200 miles of where we're sitting.
That's probably
the closest
a good thing
one
from
is,
my point of view. You would be there on a daily basis playing with the toys.
Now, if you go to an Apple store this week, you may hear what sounds like a giganto mosquito flying towards your head. It'll be the most likely the hover camera passport. It's a little selfie drone. They're going to be selling them at Apple stores. The thing is that this little guy is loud. It's extremely noisy. Sounds like just a completely ticked off hive of bees buzzing around. And even that DJI drone that we used on the camera shoot that we were on some months ago, it makes quite a bit of racket.
It does make quite a bit of noise. Yeah. It has quite the whine to it.
So you're not going to sneak around with one of these things.
A selfie drone. Yeah. What do I need a selfie drone for?
If you have that big of a...
group?
Or if you have that big of an ego. So we've been talking about, and Brenda and I have gone through this already. If you have an old iPhone that wasn't even worth turning in when you got a new phone, what do you do with the old one? There's a couple of things. Now, sometimes you can get at least a few bucks for it, selling it to a company that'll erase it and send it off to a third world country, because even like an iPhone 4 or 5 still has some value. You can keep it as a backup phone. It will always, even if the SIM card is out, by law, a phone has to be able to make a 911 call. As long as it's got power and can connect, you can make a 911 call. What we do with our Galaxy S5s, of course, is that let me backtrack a little bit. You can use it as a backup phone. You can keep it as a lower second line. You can get if it's an unlocked model, get a SIM card from Freedom Pop for about $13. The basic plan gives you 200 voice minutes, 500 text messages, and 200 megabytes of data for no extra charge for $13 for the one-time shot. So that's kind of a neat backup deal. You can, and this is what we do, is that we set them up to do video. Our Galaxy S5s make good video cameras.
They do.
The one thing we discovered, though, with the Galaxy S5 is you can't just set it and forget it. It'll record about 14 minutes of video and then shut down because of a file size limitation.
Well, that and it needs stimulation to stay awake, right?
There's a application called Calabracam, an iOS app that links multiple iPhone, iPad cameras for 6 live multi-camera video production. This is kind of an interesting one. Too bad it's only for iPhones. If they had something like this for Android, I'd be chasing it down.
Right. But that's not a new concept. We reported in, a year, something like that, ago on this idea of using multiple smartphones and stitching them together or being able to...
basically
use it to make video
stitcher.
Yeah, kind of that sort of thing, and in different points of view, and so it's not a new concept particularly.
You can this is the thought that we might you can use an iPhone with nothing else to do as a baby monitor. There's an app called Cloud Baby Monitor. It has audio and video monitoring. The app can play lullabies or white noise and has night light and two-way audio. And this is a possibility. We may have to, for $4, this is an app that you tie up to the iPhone. If there's an Android equivalent, I'm going to take another look at this because we have need of a monitoring system with video. You can use it as a video doorbell. There's actually a housing that you can stick the phone into with a power supply and have it mounted anywhere, because the iPhone, even older iPhones, have a pretty decent video camera built in.
Indeed.
Or you can get a more rugged housing and turn it into a GoPro-type camera. Although the application they're showing in this article... has it mounted on a helmet with the glass screen somewhat exposed, which would make me a little bit nervous. Let's see here. You can create a poor man's Amazon Echo
iPhones have an Alexa as well.
Siri is the iPhone.
You can tell Siri to invoke some commands, or you can create your very own dedicated VR headset. Right now, Apple isn't getting into the VR business, but there are some apps that Amazon sells a iPhone compatible VR goggle for about $30, and there are some VR apps for the iPhone. You've left your, for a long time, you left your old iPhone on the nightstand as a backup alarm and music player, didn't you?
Still is. Battery doesn't hold a charge for beans anymore, so I have to be plugged in most of the time. And if you, there's some apps out there for this and that, and one of them is that you can, if you love our show so much that you want to wake up to it in the morning,
You can tune in.
Yeah, tune in radio.
Tune in radio or the regular podcast application.
Those sorts of things.
Automatically download your latest episodes and wake up playing them or take it in the car.
Yep, there's that sort of thing. There's all kinds of little doodahs that it can do for you. So it still has a life beyond, its seeming aging technology, if you will.
Yeah, like I said, our Galaxy S5s are still excellent video cameras, and we are going to be using them in situations where we'd rather not have the $700, S7s out there exposed to
elements
exposed to danger.
Or whatever falls in the bottom of the lake. Oh, well.
Well, the S5s, S5 Actives, were actually designed for rough handling.
So. Yep, in a little more dirty environments and such. Mm.
Over the past year, by the way, FedEx has been working with a Silicon Valley company that makes autonomous indoor delivery robots. They want to have a delivery system for their repair facility in Tennessee. The bots are used by workers to move items around the office, cutting down on wasted time and storage space. Workers no longer have to walk around picking up and dropping off items. Now, at the UCSF Medical Center, they actually have a fleet of wheeled robots to deliver supplies and they're
meals,
not doing
I
documents
think.
Yet. And basically items that you would normally have an orderly, pick up, walk to the elevator, go to the destination, drop it off, walk back empty handed to pick up another something and deliver it elsewhere. What these robots do is they mostly stay out of sight, but they're delivering medications to nurses' stations, documents, equipment. If somebody realizes they're running out of gloves, they dispatch these robots, and then they look for another task where they happen to have made their delivery at. So maybe they'll take back a signed copy, or they'll, the possibilities of this are pretty endless.
Right. And places like hotels and whatnot call room service, need that extra pillow, something's missing, you forgot your toothbrush. Hotels could use these kinds of things to do tasks or even help with housekeeping type things. Here, take this to the laundry type of stuff. And it's defined as a trash can sized device that can hold about 10 pounds of goodies. But, how big is the trash can? It's kind of hard to tell in the picture that they have here, but it looks like it might be like a 33-gallon or 45-gallon trash can. Yep. That large. To hold 10 pounds of stuff, you would think it'd have to be that large.
Yeah, because you got to have your batteries and all that as well. We were talking about the demise of Windows Vista. Would you believe that almost 15% of business computers, including a couple of them in this very room that we're sitting in, or at least one in this room that we're sitting in, still run XP?
XP.
Long after its support was ended. And
you mean XP or Vista?
Well, actually, Vista only runs on about 1% of business computers. XP is still sticking around on almost 14%, according to this article here on ZDNet. Windows XP is expected not to completely go away for years to come. Spiceworks calculates that Windows XP is running on 14% of all PCs and businesses worldwide, Vista only running on about 1%. That's how bad Vista sucked. Meanwhile, Windows 7 runs on almost 70% of business PCs, and Windows 10 currently 9% of the overall share.
Yep, and you get the thing about security things and whatnot, which is probably why the lion's share is the most current operating. Well, I guess it's not the most current operating system.
So a lot of IT people.
Windows 10 is out.
If the computer does not have to access the internet, and it's an old piece of hardware that's doing some dedicated task, why replace XP?
Exactly. Yeah, if it's isolated.
If it's
from,
not tied to the internet, it doesn't need the high security, and it does the job, why improve the curvature of the wheel?
Well, there's other aspects to that as well, is that not all programs run with every operating system. So if a company has, let's say, a payroll system that is compatible with XP, it costs a lot of money to change those programs and upgrade them or change them to the new operating system so there's compatibility. So I could understand why there may be some things out there that were written to run in XP, and if they're isolated and there's no reason to change them, the software isn't out of date or what have you, then it saves some money and let an independent computer run that.
Well, here's an ideal example listed in this article. For example, a card lock system, a security monitoring system, that's its only job. It is not tied to the internet for security purposes.
Right.
Its only thing is to read the inputs and open doors.
Right.
So why update it?
Right. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
And it'll create... or a PC that's monitoring elevators and recording a log, if they don't have new applications and they're not connected, most companies don't see a reason to replace them. And that's the case here at our station, is that we've got a machine that all it does is record audio. It's not tied to the internet, so we didn't update it.
Yep.
We'll wait until the fan blows out.
Yeah, exactly. There's no need to.
I did have a Panasonic laptop that was running XP, and I went ahead just to play with it, put a version of Linux on it, because I've got one listener who nags me about Linux a lot, and I put it on there, and I've played around with it, but haven't really gotten super deep into it. I mean, I've got a couple of projects that are pending of that sort, but if you're not going on the internet, basically, and you got an XP machine that you're doing your word processing on, more power to you, you know? If it works, it works. You know.
Yep. Why? If it isn't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. Now here's something. This has got to be one of your big pet peeves. You're loading a page and you start to read it. Have you ever loaded a web page and just as you start reading it, the page jumps?
Yes.
This is what's called... it's one of the most annoying things about browsing the web on a phone or a tablet. The pages tend to jump around while they're loading. The reason is pretty straightforward. Developers want to make sure the actual content loads first, then the ads and images load afterwards.
Right, and that all shoves everything around, and then there's optimizing for your particular device. The web page can be coded to play on any size screen.
Yeah.
And if... you know, it isn't quite fitting, or an ad comes in that doesn't quite fit, then things jump around. You know, I don't pay attention to the ads anyway. So,
well, the latest version of the Chrome browser does its best to prevent the jumps with the help of a feature called scroll anchoring. The feature prevents almost 3 jumps per page view, and over time that number will likely increase. It locks the page at its current location even as the content loads around it, so that instead of your viewing window jumping around, it stays put in the content.
It
goes around.
I like that idea. Or how many times?
Somebody was listening.
Somebody must have been properly annoyed.
Yep. Finally, as we get ready to wrap it up for this week's Boomer, you know, you got to hand it to some people's creativity. Never nice to be without the internet. When you're behind bars, you know, you feel deprived of these things. Seems that a project to put inmates to work in an Ohio prison, taking old computers apart for salvage value, honest work, you know. Seems that some of the inmates were filching bits and pieces of these computers and built a computer that they hid in the ceiling tiles. And what does a felon do with access to a computer? And they manage to find an internet connection. They commit fraud with it. Several enterprising inmates had MacGyvered the computer together out of several spare components, hid it on a sheet of plywood, and they One inmate used the computers to apply for credit cards under the name of another inmate. Others used the machines to commit tax fraud and issue security passes to give them access to restricted areas. According to the BBC, an analysis of the hard drives uncovered articles about drug manufacturing, explosives, and carding. Unsurprisingly, prison authorities also discovered a mountain of smut.
Well, of course, always that way.
There are some constants in the universe.
I remember a story from a local prison where they had a fine garden of marijuana growing in the back 40 there.
Oh, yeah.
At the work camp.
I remember that story.
They rolled them up and put them back in the big house.
The prison was audited for other clandestine computers. The five inmates were separated and moved to other prisons.
clever people. Industrious.
You can't make this stuff up. Hey, we want to thank you for listening to the program. Download the podcast. Go to boomertechradio.com. Write us at boomertechradio@gmail.com. Give us a little feedback on the show here. Let us know how we're doing. We do appreciate you listening as we expand our footprint out there into the world. It's Bob and Brenda saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump says the Palm Sunday attack on two Christian churches in Egypt is a reminder of the threats to religious freedom.
We condemn this barbaric attack. We mourn for those who lost loved ones, and we pray for the strength and wisdom to achieve a better tomorrow, one where good people of all faiths, Christians and Muslims and Jewish and Hindu, can follow their hearts and worship according to their conscience.
President made his remarks during his weekly address. For the Democrats this week, National Committee Chair Tom Perez says Mr. Trump's first 100 days have seen a, quote, assault on hardworking families.
Trump continues to lie.